Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring Joe Shortridge.
It's me, and we are here.
And me, don't forget about me.
Who?
Jumper.
Your foot don't fit no limb.
Break my foot off and you'll...
Okay, so we made it, folks. We are
finally
at Paranormal
here.
Toledo.
Yes!
At Collingwood Arts Center, the historic and very haunted
Collingwood Arts Center.
You did do some walking around, and stuff is happening, man.
All right, so we have been here since
everywhere.
About noon.
Talk. Oh, sorry.
And, we've been here, maybe 4 hours already, and we've had, like, 3 experiences. People are being touched. It's cold chills. It's
amazing. People are, like you said earlier, you'd think with all the people here, there would be no activity of the spirits or nothing, but
super
it's like
active.
They're nuts. It's going nuts here.
Yeah.
There's so many people here. It's amazing.
This is such a great turnout for being the first paranormal convention in Toledo.
Yeah. You know, like I said, people have been wanting it forever. And it's happening now and it is awesome.
So we have all kinds of vendors here. We've got paranormal groups, we've got psychics. What else do we have going around here?
I mean, you got people selling jewelry, you've got the Wicca stuff, there's people selling photographs, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes,
it's awesome.
It is amazing. We are just in the midst of it all, and what an amazing day to have it. It's raining outside, it's just pouring.
It is pouring outside. It's like a monsoon.
And just the activity here, just the energy of the people. I think the spirits are feeding off of that energy right now.
Yeah, you can feel it in the air. It's amazing.
Definitely. A lot of people want to share their stories with us, too. And we're going to have some of those on later.
Yeah, everybody, I say everybody, but the hallway here is packed. But everybody's downstairs listening to the speakers. They are using the small theater for the speakers. I just went down there. I heard Grizz, he's one of the local DJs,
right.
Awesome guy. He was talking about his experiences, and hopefully if he's not so busy, a lot of people are talking to him, we're going to get him on the mic here and actually get his story.
Yeah, and Chris Boris is actually speaking right now, and I'm kind of bummed that we're not down there listening to him. He is amazing. He has a book out called The Pursuit of the Paranormal. He has got some great, great experiences. He had a EVP session that lasted over 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. I think that was down in St. Augustine, Florida at the Haunted Lighthouse.
Florida?
Yes.
You know how much stuff goes on in Florida.
There's a lot.
You know, okay, you mentioned it.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up
the news.
Let's
go there.
Are we going to go there?
Let's go to Florida, folks.
Oh, I
even though
you
we're in Ohio right now,
yes.
But we like to share the paranormal news.
How about this for a headline? Drug addicted Florida man arrested after chasing ghosts with a machete. You can't make this stuff up.
You
folks.
Can't.
You cannot make
you cannot.
This stuff up.
I it's mean, amazing.
You go to Florida a lot, so maybe you're going to. Maybe you'll read.
Okay, so who was this guy and what was he doing?
Jonathan Pounce. That's an odd name. Jonathan Pounce. He pounced on the ghost. Was arrested after allegedly took the drug Molly and started chasing ghosts around his house with a machete.
Okay, first of all, what's Molly? I don't even know.
It's a drug. I actually don't know either, but...
wonder if it's like ecstasy or acid or something.
Yeah, it's probably on the acid.
I don't know. Maybe somebody can explain it to us.
Yes, folks, send us an email and let us know what it is.
Yes.
Because we don't know.
We don't want to try it. We just want to know what it is so we know what we're dealing with.
Yeah, because I don't own a machete, so I can't, get the ghost out of the house.
Right. So,
but anyhow,
how did this
okay,
happen?
So Jonathan Pounce, 31, took the drug Molly with his 26-year-old girlfriend. And started to chase the ghost out of the house with his machete, which in itself is okay. If you want to chase around your house with a machete, that's fine. That's your own thing.
It's America. You're free to do whatever.
Some people have fetishes. Who knows? But the big problem was his kids were there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And it did not go well. He did not cut anybody or nothing like that. But once the kids went screaming, running out of the house, the cops showed up.
Aww.
Had to chase him down. And I believe he was dressed. It wasn't a nude man with a machete story.
Maybe he was fighting Bruce Lee or something.
That's possible.
Kundao,
yeah. But, okay, sticking with Florida. You want to stay in Florida?
Yes.
This is awesome. This is even bigger than big.
This is like the biggest paranormal news ever?
This is the biggest paranormal news
ever. All right, folks, prepare yourself for this one. Ever. All right, Joe, lay it on us.
Okay, here's the headline.
Okay.
The ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage is alleged haunting a Florida wrestling promotion.
Amazing.
Yes. Referee John Hill was in the ring for Extreme Pro Wrestling. And if you look on our Facebook page, folks, we have the photo of the person that it took when Macho Man Randy Savage was announced that he was going into the WWE Hall of Fame. When referee Josh Hill mentioned that to the crowd, someone took a picture, and you could see the ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage on the right, and he is pissed. He's pissed.
He's pissed he's dead.
Yeah, I know, he's dead, but he can't wrestle now. I mean, he tries to pick people up, but he just goes right through them.
Maybe there's wrestling in heaven.
Is there wrestling in heaven? If it is, it's going to be a great match.
There's
a lot of great wrestlers that have passed.
Yeah, Andre the Giant, Junkyard Dog.
A lot of them. The Great Wojo from Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he alive? Or
I believe he passed.
Oh.
I don't know.
Wojo, if you're alive, you know, leave us a message on Facebook.
Gorgeous George. Do you remember Gorgeous George?
I do. Yes.
Yes. A lot of great wrestlers. I actually miss. I used to do photographs, you know, me being the professional photographer that I am. I did photographs at a lot of wrestling matches. That was a blast.
That was.
It was so much fun.
Remember when Matt Hardy came in?
Yeah. I remember Matt.
He was a nice guy. He had some problems, but he was a...
Oh, yeah.
Very handsome. And, you know, ladies, very handsome in person.
Not to... I don't know if I should say this, but a lot of the wrestlers are actually really nice people, even though they're trying to be the bad guys.
Yeah. Remember that one guy? What was his name? Rhino?
Rhino, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still out there.
Yeah.
He gets up on the WWE every once in a while.
Does he?
Yeah, he's still out there doing his thing.
Cool. All right, so what else? What else is going on in Toledo as we speak?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of ghost activity here at the Collingwood Arts Center.
Yeah.
This is the first event of many to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great turnout. There are people here. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you missed out. You did it. You missed out. You'll have to come next year.
And if you're here right now and then you're listening to this when we broadcast it.
That's an idea.
Leave us a message on our Facebook page and tell us what you experienced and who you met and some stories.
There is a lot of activity going on. Like I know you just mentioned a little bit ago, but there is a ton of activity.
I can't wait to get up and, you know, there's five levels here. So, you know, the history of the Collingwood Arts Center is it originally started in the 1800s was the Gerber House.
Yeah.
So it was a very prominent family in Toledo. And they fell on hard times, so they sold the house to Lelasky and I believe it was the Secor family, which are famous streets here in Toledo and famous families. And then from there, they built onto it a convent and a giant theater. And then
the theater is amazing.
And then on that, they built off even more. There's some other buildings not attached, but there's a chapel that I don't think it's open to the public, but it's back there. So there's a lot of activity from, they say, some of the nuns that were here.
Yeah, there's actually one of the stories is up in the balcony. In one of the seats, there's a nun that people have seen sitting there during the shows. And they're like, oh, the nun's sitting there. And everybody's like, no, that's not really a nun. She's one of the spirits that appears here. And if you go on our Facebook page, you'll see photos that we've taken here.
Yes.
During my first investigation here. It's so cool, folks, because as a photographer, I like to take several shots in a row in different situations. And I took three photographs in succession. And in two of the photographs, you can see an orb that Jen has captured on her camera. At the same time, I was capturing it on.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I was on the stage, and to stage right, as they call it, I was looking forward, and then I heard off to the side, I heard this bang on the floor, and
I turned
and I snapped two pictures, and the first one I got this huge orb, moving orb, off to the side, and then the second picture there was nothing there. So it was really
cool because I didn't know what was going on. I was just taking pictures of you and the other people over by the small stage, and I got the same orb in the same.
You had one of your photographs that you took. There is like a black mass shadow too. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. So it's on that, you know, that small part off to the side, that little stage area.
Yeah, that's where I was pointing the camera. I was pointing at the small stage.
Yeah. Go back and look at that photograph because you have like a black, it almost looks like maybe 6 or 7 feet tall shadow person
there. I'll definitely check that out. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
You know, me being as a professional photographer, I notice things in photographs. Yeah. I didn't see it. But that's cool,
like, to go back and take a look at your pictures again. Look a little bit closer. Zoom into them. You might see things that you didn't see the first or second time.
Yeah, because...
Especially in a place like this with all the history.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so folks, when you come to the Collingwood Arts Center, it's kind of a weird entrance.
Yeah.
You don't enter from the front of the building anymore.
Yeah. It's just the way the buildings were built onto each other.
Yeah, because, you know, the house was original, and then they built the theater that we're in right now, and then they added on and added on and on. When you come in to the main entrance, to the right, there's a small bathroom, okay? And I know we've mentioned this before on different shows, but, you know, now that we're here, tell you the story about it, but I walked in there, and 1 foot in felt like you were in a freezer.
It's awesome.
I mean, really
ice cold. It just changed the temperature just like that.
Exactly, and there's really no air conditioner here.
No.
So I was like...
Apparently not by my frizzy hair today.
Yeah. I walked in that room, and that's what I thought. I thought, oh, the air conditioner's on right above me. I looked, and there's no vents.
No.
So...
I know...
Which put me in the state of mind that I need to look at this because I've heard about it so many times. I've never experienced it for myself. So when I walked in that room, that's what I thought because it was such a change.
Right.
I mean, you're talking probably 30 degrees change.
Difference, yeah.
So I come out and I was like, Jen, you got to check this out. So we went back in the room and we had our meters with us. But back then we didn't have a lot of equipment.
We were just starting out. Yeah, it was like our first time.
We just had the meters, and they just basically lit up if they sensed some kind of electrical force. So we set the meters on a chair, and we said, is anybody here? And both meters went nuts. And I was
at the same time, which is very odd.
Yeah. I was like...
And that's why you used to. So it's kind of like a check and balance.
Yeah, and, you know, also, folks, get in the habit if you are doing something in a room, have them spread out a little bit. But anyway, so I said that, and they both went nuts. And we're like, awesome, look at this. So I said, okay, this meter means yes, this meter means no. And we basically carried on a conversation, and it was answering yes and no. It was so cool.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, to have that much activity for that long.
And that's how they're saying it's happening here.
Yep, right now.
A lot of people are saying that. Yeah, people are coming up to our booth saying, I just sent something. And it's like,
wait till tonight until the ghost hunt happens. Oh my gosh. Yeah. People are going to be scared.
Well, that's why they came.
That's right. Get your money's worth.
Oh, yeah. And it was cool because they had the VIP and they got to come in early and talk to everybody before the crowds come in. And it's funny because, folks, we were just getting ready to record this segment. And just as we were ready to hit record, a tour guide came through with about 30 people, and he was yelling at the top of his lungs. It's awesome. I'm going to try to get him on to tell us about the building. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on here, folks, and that's a great idea that Jen mentioned, that if you're here today and you're listening later on our show, let us know what you experienced.
Yeah. Leave us on our Facebook page a note, or you can private message us and we'll take your name out of it.
Yeah.
And just
don't need to give your name. I mean, well, just use your first name.
Use a fake name.
Use a fake name, like Shipowitz.
Or Roberto.
Roberto. Use Roberto.
Anyways, okay. What is going on? Because there's a lot of people walking by right now. And
well, the speaker might be done downstairs.
It's awesome. It's getting very loud in here.
That's cool.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's grab somebody and hear some ghost stories. With the 222 Paranormal Podcast, broadcasting from the Collingwood Arts Center at Paranormal Toledo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And we have Terry with us today. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Welcome. Good, good.
What's shaking, Terry?
Well, hopefully a lot of things are going to be shaking later tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And now Terry and I were in the theater on the stage before it even started, and we had a little experience, didn't we?
Absolutely. Started feeling like a pressure on my arm. It started just like tingling, and the cold air was filling in. It was awesome. 2 minutes in there and already.
Yeah, so we both experienced it at the same time, too. I had chills started on my arms, and then went straight up the back of my neck into my hair, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. That was awesome. So we know tonight's going to be a wild night.
Oh, absolutely.
With all this activity and all this energy in here, the ghosts are going to be very active tonight.
Well, let's hope they stay active.
Definitely. So, Terry, tell us, did you have any good ghost experiences or paranormal experiences you want to share with us?
Well, there was one time a couple years back when I was sitting in my computer room, obviously looking up ghost stuff, related information. I happened to lean back and I don't know what I was doing, but it just happened to, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something kind of go by my door, but I got up and I looked out the door, and there was nothing there.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, you just your mind playing tricks on you. So I went back to doing what I was doing, and I leaned back again, and like maybe 15 minutes later, and I leaned back again, and I seen it again.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got up, and I looked, nothing there. And at the point, I said, okay, well, I need some coffee because my eyes are starting to focus.
How big was it? How tall? Compared to your door, how?
I would say probably about 5 feet tall.
Okay.
Five and a half feet tall. And went out to get the coffee, and when I went out in the kitchen, there was a white mist kind of like just floating there in the middle of the kitchen.
Awesome.
That's great.
And I didn't think much of it at first until it's like maybe started reaching for me. It appeared that it was reaching for me,
wow.
But then it just disappeared.
And that's awesome. So how long would you say that it was in front of you?
Probably maybe 15 seconds at most.
Wow, that's kind of a long time, really.
It is a long
time. Usually you see something and boom, it's gone like that.
I get the impression that it's somebody who's looking for something because I've seen her before. I know it's a female because, you know, certain features you can tell from a distance. I'm sorry. I keep getting further and further away from the microphone. But yeah, it's like if she's lost, like a lost soul, and she's looking for something.
Okay.
Because I've seen her a couple other times since, but it, like you said, it's been real quick. Just look over and she's gone.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. The thing is, I've never actually been able to get a picture or, you know, EVP, so I don't know if she knows how to communicate. And I've been trying to train her how to communicate, but it doesn't seem like she's interested.
Lots of times I've heard that where they almost sense that you're trying to take pictures of them, so they kind of dematerialize, or they just make it so you can't see them
right
in the photos.
Now, I'm just like wondering if maybe like she's seeing things from her time period, like because obviously I've looked at I've looked in the history of the location, and there's nothing there that would say that somebody died in that location. So it had to be from something from years past. But I'm unfortunately not been able to find any, you know, information about that.
And you never know. You know, they say entities attach to objects too. So it could have been something that was brought into house, piece of furniture, an antique.
That's very possible.
Or just to you.
Right.
You know, you could have been somewhere and it was drawn to your energy and it came home with you.
Well, that's possible.
That's not a bad thing.
Things that you don't want to bring home.
Yeah, don't tell mom.
Yeah, I was told. I was told before I came over here today. Whatever you encounter later, leave it there.
Exactly.
Really, before you leave, just give yourself a thought of everybody
cleansing.
That stay here that belongs here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Just tell them
this is your home. Where I'm going is my home. We have our own separate worlds. You stay here, and I'll go there.
Yep.
Unless they're ghosts of maids, and they want to clean the house.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to pay them. I got a little electroplasma for you.
There you go. Never mind. I was going to say electroplasm cash or something.
Ectoplasmic.
There you go.
I couldn't say that word.
Ectoplasmic funds.
Yeah, I couldn't think of that.
Well, Terry, it was great having you on. Thanks for sharing your story. And if you have any more experiences here later, we'll talk about them.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be sure to let you guys know.
All right, great.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Cool, thanks.
Okay, 222 Paranormal Podcast. We are here live at the Collingwood Arts Center with Paranormal Toledo. We have some very, very special guests here with us. It is the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could just introduce yourselves, just your first name.
My name is Becky.
My name is Errol.
My name is Butch.
All right. Awesome. How are you doing today?
Doing good. A lot of fun here at the Collingwood Arts Center today.
Isn't it an amazing place here? We got a lot of activity going on. We have a lot of people coming in and out and through, lots of vendors.
So tell us a little bit about you guys. I mean,
Joe, Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunter Society was formed in 1999 by Butch and I. We were good buddies. We've known each other through Tam O'Shanter Sports. He was a hockey coach. Awesome. And I was a facility manager, and one night we were talking about ghosts, and we got together. We were both paranormal investigators previous to that. We both have about 40 years experience in ghost hunting, so
awesome.
Good thing that we got together. We're having a ton of fun today.
We were just talking a little bit ago about how many people are here. It's just an awesome turnout. Awesome. So how many people are in your group?
We have four core members.
Okay.
And there's about nine of us that rotate in and rotate out. It's, you know, it's, we don't charge anything for anything. So it's all volunteers. So, you know, sometimes work and family takes precedence over ghost hunting. But there's 9 to 10 or 11 of us at all times.
Cool. That's great. And how long has your group been together?
Like I just said, Butch and I formed Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunter Society in 1999. Like I said earlier, previously he was an investigator with another group, and I was doing the same thing myself.
Great. And tell us some of the places that you've investigated.
Well, one of the very first places that you and I did, Butch, I think, was the Athens Lunatic Asylum down in Athens, Ohio, was one of Butch and I's first experiences together. We got really lucky. We was able to go into the old Beacon Building, Tuberculosis Ward, Wilson's Hall, Bryan's Hall. If anybody knows Athens, and I mean, it's probably one of the top haunted places in the state of Ohio, they'll recognize the names that I'm saying. So we had been to all of them, and all five cemeteries as well.
That is amazing. Awesome. So tell us some of the activity that you got or evidence.
Butch, why don't you tell them the time that you had that friendly ghost that pushed you?
Yeah, we were doing the asylum, and I was in one of the rooms, and all of a sudden I got shoved, and I went down, and I thought it was one of the guys that was with us. I turned around, and there was nobody there. Actually, it was one of the friendly confines of one of the people that actually was one of the spirits, and that was pretty interesting, and that made us want to go keep going back there, and we had a lot of fun doing that building over and over. Unfortunately, that building is now demolished and it's gone.
No. That's the sad part, is when they tear these places down that are so active, like the Toledo Workhouse. We just did a show on the Toledo Workhouse. Unfortunately, it's gone, but that was a very active location here locally.
Well, I think, you know, as we're all here today enjoying the Toledo Paranormal Convention, you know, same thing could happen here. We don't have events like this and other events as well to raise money to preserve this historical building. So, as Butch said, a lot of the buildings in Athens are gone now. Ohio University bought a lot of it, so some of it was preserved. The old Lunatic Asylum is now the Kennedy Arts Center, but a lot of the older buildings on the ridges are long gone.
Oh, that's a shame.
That is a shame. Now, you mentioned that you had investigated at Mansfield Prison.
Yeah, we do a ghost hunt with the pros every couple of years. Our director of public outreach, Michelle Maddox, promotes it. And a couple of years ago, we had built a class of 36 students that we had taken down to Mansfield. The great news there that night was we had the prison to ourselves. So we had had an hour presentation on how to use the equipment. You know, that way we were quite sure that anything that we may have captured was paranormal. That because we had the prison to ourselves, so there was no outside contamination of any kind.
Yeah.
Really a cool experience. Mansfield's definitely haunted, and we locked Becky in solitary confinement.
Oh my gosh, I had an experience in solitary confinement. I had a lady have her gold bracelet ripped off of her arm and thrown out of the cell. And I saw a full body apparition up near the cells. scared me, but excited me at the same time.
It was a little bit slow when we were there. We had a couple of things. Probably the most significant was a scream when we were down in the showers.
Wow. That. Oh, I would love to hear that. Do you guys have that on your website? Or?
I don't know. Michelle had that evidence. I don't know if we've downloaded it or not onto that story.
Definitely. So have all of you investigated here at the Collingwood Arts Center before?
The funny thing is, I have an aunt that's here doing readings today. Her son used to work here, and now there's family members, as well as I knew a few of other people that were attached to this building. I've been in here 50 times.
Okay.
Never investigated and never experienced anything paranormal either.
Wow. Today might be the day.
Listen, I had a group member earlier today come up to me, one of our old group members, Joey. He likes to get lost sometimes when he's... You know, he's supposed to be doing group functions.
Yeah.
Everybody will ask, where's Joey? But he come in an hour ago and swore that he saw the nun today.
Oh, really? Man.
Interestingly enough, I was just standing outside with a member of another paranormal group, and she said somebody with her had their shirt tugged on upstairs on the second floor.
Yeah, we had a girl stop at the booth here, and she was in the theater in the front row sitting there, and she got her leg grabbed, and she screamed and threw her phone. So, yeah, it's a very, very hot spot today. Yeah, so you guys might be seeing something later. Definitely. So what other places around Toledo have you heard that are haunted?
Oh, Toledo in Northwest Ohio is famous for their hauntings. You have the Oliver House, which is very – the Walcott House in Maumee, Fort Meigs. The list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. If you was just to Google haunted Toledo, there's – probably 20 places. Gibbs Bridge, Wolfinger Cemetery, the list goes on and on. Ravine Parks, I could sit here and name 20 of them. Some very significant haunted places that a lot of them are public as well, so you know, you have access to them. Walkout House is going to be doing their programs next month. You can visit that place. Any of the cemeteries, I mean, I would pay respects to the dead, but all the cemeteries are open to the public. Toledo is very haunted.
It's amazing. We have so many locations in one area. So, you know, there's never lack of somewhere to go or something to investigate.
Yeah, we just mentioned on, I believe, our last show about legends, the cemetery. My mind just went blank. But we were talking about crybaby bridges. And the cemetery right there at Jackman and Monroe. Yep. I can't think of the name. My mind just went totally blank.
Butch and I have investigated
Woodlawn
there.
Cemetery.
We've been out to Woodlawn, two or three times?
Yep. Yeah.
They say, most common stories I hear, they're veterans, am I right? Wanted by veterans?
A lot of the people that built Toledo. I took some dowsing rods out there one day, and I got a lot of good action with the dowsing rods, especially with the store, the guy that made the store and broadcasting. And they went, the dowsing rods went nuts in front of his tomb.
That's awesome.
They just went crazy. I asked, the more they went. It was really astounding what happened there.
Cool.
Yeah, tell the group here what we heard about Woodlawn Cemetery.
Which part? There's so many different ones.
Okay, so there is a mausoleum there, and apparently if you walk into the back of this mausoleum, there's all kinds of activity. They say it's a portal.
There's a hole behind one of them that is, there's like a hole in the ground, and people have been saying that it's the portal to hell.
Butch and I spent probably 20 minutes right there a couple of summers ago. We had run some EVP sessions. You know, hauntings are funny.
Yeah.
I've heard the same stories dozens of times.
Yeah.
Butch and I worked that for 20 to 30 minutes. I walked away with nothing. A lot of great pictures, a lot of great memories. Mm-hmm. And we worked the entire cemetery. There seemed to be a strange energy about the place.
Yeah.
A lot of history there. We never captured anything there on my equipment that night.
Yeah.
Have you been out to Ravine Cemetery?
Well, listen, Ravine is totally different now.
It is.
Ravine, I have a story on our website about, along with a really a strange picture. Somewhere in the middle of the cemetery, besides the tales of the lady in white that walks around, and there is something, I think, a little bit dark there, so we need to be a little bit careful. you know, if there's kids listening, who am I to preach or lecture?
Oh,
but Ravine
ahead.
Park Cemetery is one of those cemeteries that we need to be careful. You know, and watch who you're provoking. Watch who you're trying to communicate with, because guess what? Ravine Park Cemetery, there may be somebody that's waiting for you that does want to talk to you.
Yeah.
If you go to the website, www.toghs.org,
okay,
to the Ohio's website, go to the search menu, type in Ravine Park Cemetery, you're going to see one of the headstones that was taken right at sunset on a night vision camera, and it looks like a baby's face, as plain as day.
I got to definitely
right
check that
in front
out.
Of the sun, and caught that on a fluke, and I was trying to capture the lady in white that's supposed to be walking around. I caught a child. I don't know why.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I went out there one time. And
not to mention the guy with his waving at you.
Oh, yeah.
A full-bodied apparition of somebody behind the headstone waving. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Same night.
Yeah. I went out there because the tale that I heard was there's a Civil War section, and sometimes you see partial or a full soldier out there.
I've heard the same things. I have yet to capture that. But in that same section is where other groups and other people have said it's kind of dark. And I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
But they said it can be somewhat
I'm
going
to check that out. I've never been there. Yeah. So I need to check that out.
You know, and on the other side is St. Joe's. And I've been over there. And that's just about as peaceful as you can, you know, as peaceful a place you can be.
Yeah.
I don't know why cemeteries are haunted. You know,
you think about that. It's like, why would they want to stay there?
Well, here's the thing. You know energy's energy.
Yeah.
And when you pass away, I mean, where's your energy going to go? I think I'm going to go home and pester the heck out of my entire family.
Yes.
Why not?
I don't think I'd hang around a cemetery, but they do.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Another thing to think about is maybe it's not anybody that's actually buried in the cemetery. It could be the land itself. There
are
things that linger on properties, and unless you know the history of the land, it could be anything.
Yeah,
especially in this area, we have a lot of Native American energy and history here in Northwest Ohio and Southeastern Michigan. Joe and I went up to the battlefield, the River Raisin battlefield, and we didn't capture anything on video or photography, but we had feelings there. So.
I ride my bike. I try to ride every other day or so, and I ride out of there and ride into the park that's by there. And I was reading the signs there one time, and it's amazing to think where you park your car, 2,000 bodies were piled up there, and you think of the energy that is there because of the fear and, you know, it was funny because they had reenactments going on, and I'm like, yeah, if people actually knew what that was like back then, they would definitely not be doing reenactments.
I would think those reenactments could potentially stir up a lot of energy.
Oh,
it'd
yeah.
be a good time to investigate. It would be right after that.
Yeah.
I heard a story, and it wasn't from that battlefield, but from Gettysburg. One time where these people come in and they thought it was really cool that these two people were, you know, practicing, getting ready for their enactment later that day. And they said, there's nobody practicing. There's nobody there. They had actually saw a couple of soldiers.
Wow. So I got to make it out there.
Yeah.
Southeastern Michigan is haunted as well.
Oh, yeah.
Stories coming out of Monroe, Trenton, everywhere downriver.
Yeah, definitely. When I went to Gettysburg, I was, you know how you go through in the battlefield, there's that one road and there's no streetlights, there's no houses, it's just battlefield and the road. And I was rolling down the road and my sister and I, she stopped the car and I wanted to snap some pictures, and it was dark out. It's probably about 11:30 at night. So I take my camera and I go to that split rail fencing they have along there and I'm just snapping some pictures. And I hear this voice in my ear says, "What are you doing?"
That was Zach Vagan from Ghost Adventures. That was one of the very first things he's ever documented as a ghost hunter himself for the show, was a full-bodied apparition right out of Gettysburg.
Wow.
It's a famous video now. I mean, it, to me, it looks like a real soldier.
Yeah.
But it's not.
He really provokes. I was able to ghost hunt with him at Mansfield, and he was in solitary when I was sitting in the cell, and he was provoking it. Was so scary. He's very aggressive.
Do you remember Steve Irwin from the Animal Planet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always said that was how he was going to die. You know, as much as he was with the alligators. I say the same thing about Zach. I fear if something ever happens to him and he does die prematurely, it's going to be investigating.
Yeah.
He's an extreme ghost.
Very extreme.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, I was going to say, tell us again your website so people can check you out.
Joe, Jennifer, thanks for having us on today. We have had a fantastic day. I wasn't quite sure what this was going to bring.
Yeah.
But the whole group come out. There's a lot of I'm sure you're going to talk about it, promoting this thing. But I think for everybody that does hear this podcast, you know, pay attention for next year, the Collingwood's Art Center. This is a great event. All the money's going to go to the preservation of this building. And you're going to, there's so many groups out here. Paranormal Unity, everybody's talking about it now. Yeah. Things are really changing. Mm-hmm. We're now coming together. We're sharing stories.
It's getting to be more mainstream. And
more accepted.
Absolutely.
So, hey, listen, if you are a fan of Toledo, Iowa Ghost Hunter Society, you can follow what Becky does and what Butch and I do at www.toghs.org. You can also visit us on our Facebook page as well. And once you get there, we have a phone number. If you have any emergency that you need some help, feel free to call Becky. She's our case manager. And
definitely.
Joe, Jennifer, thanks for having us on.
Thank you. We appreciate everything
thanks
you do.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Butch.
It was great talking to you guys.
Becky.
Thanks so much.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
And I see we have somebody else here stepping up to the table.
Yes, we have Linda with PSEI. Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Great. So we heard that you had some experiences in your house and you brought the group out to help you.
I did. I asked that they come out, take a look, see what we could find. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents had passed in the house, along with my mother's first husband. And through all of that, we always had some experiences. So it was interesting to see what they were able to capture.
Great. Now, how long had it been going on before you called the group?
I actually, from day one for me, okay. I grew up in that home, and it was haunted when I was a child. Okay. We would tell my folks, you know, things that would happen or we would see, and they never believed us, obviously. And it wasn't until probably a few years before my father passed away, which has been 10 years now, that I got a call at like 2 a.m. from him saying, I believe.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's amazing. So when you called the group, was the activity increasing to the point where you just felt like you needed help to understand it?
Yes. We would have voices talking, calling your name out, lights turning on and off, doors opening and closing. If one of the kids slammed a bedroom door, you would hear pounding on the door.
Oh, wow.
And no one would be there. Footsteps running up and down the steps.
Amazing. So when the group came out and set up for your investigation, how long did it take them? Was it one night, two nights?
Within one night.
Okay.
They were able to identify the people that were in the home. It's identified that it was two men, one woman, which would be my mother and my father and her first husband.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's also a little girl, apparently, that resides with us.
Oh, wow.
Not quite sure where she came from, but she's fascinated with our grandson.
Oh, cool. So she just decided to show up mm-hmm. one day and stay.
Yeah, and she will open and close the bedroom doors on him and run up and down the hallway. It's a game.
That's amazing. Now, how long have you been with the group?
Not quite a year, actually. After they came out and did the investigation, I was very fascinated. You know, and again, having lived with it all my life, mm-hmm. I'm accustomed to the unusual. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just an extension.
Now, have you done any recent investigations outside of your home with
yes.
the group? Okay. And I just wanted to say I came and saw you guys speak at the Toledo Library on Harvest. And I was like, that was awesome. It was really amazing that you guys were able to come out and do that.
Thank you.
Yes.
And were you one of the speakers? I wasn't there. You were one of the speakers? Or
yes.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. They showed some of the clips from my home that they had captured video along with audio.
Cool. That's
now,
awesome.
Has the activity increased or decreased since they came out?
It still stays about the same.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Family. Anytime mm-hmm. we get the crew together over there or I get my family together, I know that they get very excited and happy. Mm-hmm. They enjoy having, you know, all of us kids back in the house. I've talked to mediums and they have said that, you know, anytime I make changes, redecorate, remodel, I have to get their approval.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So they enjoy it, and it's fun. I enjoy knowing that my family is still with me.
And that's what's nice, too. Like, I believe Al was just saying that, you know, the groups come in, do the investigations, and then just leave, and leave people in the dark. But with your experience, it's actually really cool that you're accepting of it and you know who they are, and they're not there to be malicious or anything. They just want to hang out.
Correct. That's all they want, is to be able to hang out. I could tell you that on my father's birthday, I had them back out.
Okay.
The team came back out.
The team,
we did an another investigation. I did FaceTime with our son, and he, you know, just was like, happy birthday, Papa. You know,
cool.
Just want to say happy birthday to you. Love you. And the equipment went nuts.
Oh, wow.
That is very cool.
That is cool.
That is amazing. And it's amazing that you have a positive experience about it. You know, a lot of people are scared or, you know, don't understand it and don't want it there. But, you know, some people embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's your family, you still want your family around.
Of course.
Whether they're here physically or not.
Mm-hmm. So. And we've introduced each of the grandchildren to them specifically. We've had them over and have said, you know, Mom, Dad, this is your great granddaughter.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's really cool. Well, I appreciate you taking your time and sharing your story with us. And check out PSEI on Facebook. And I'm sure if they have any, if you need help, the group is willing to come out and investigate. Their phone number is available, like Al said. So, Linda, we appreciate having you on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the one, the only, Pat Tansey.
Woohoo!
Collingwood Arts Center.
He is.
Hello.
Hi, gorgeous.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm just lovely. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're having so much fun here.
Good.
So tell us a little bit about the history of this wonderful, awesome place.
Well, there's basically two histories. Okay. There's three. There's three histories with Mr. Gerber, who built the home out front, the Earthland nuns who came and built the convent later on, and then what happened that they had to leave the property, and then we created the Collingwood Art Center in order to preserve the building.
Okay.
So there's basically three different stories. Let's stick with the story about the Collingwood Art Center.
All right.
And maybe, again, we can converse on the other two.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the Collingwood Art Center was formed in the 1980s, and the reason was the nuns were leaving the property, and once again, we'll talk about that history of the reasons for leaving later. But what was happening at that period of time in Toledo was also another issue. Downtown Toledo had many, many large movie theaters. The queen of them all was the Paramount Theater.
Okay.
But the last theater downtown that hadn't been torn down or modified was the Valentine. And right at that period of time in the 1980s, it had been vacated by its commercial properties and was occupied by the city. And the city had many administrative offices in the Valentine. And eventually they moved out because the boilers went bad, the roof leaked, the electrical system was questionable, it was a fire hazard. You know, all the different kinds of problems existed within the structure. And so the city moved out of their offices. So now the building sat vacant for a couple of years, and rightfully so, the city administration people, those people who are responsible for buildings and grounds and so forth, said, you know, the best thing we can do for that building is tear it down.
Oh.
Well, just the city went crazy. It was the last big movie house in downtown Toledo.
Uh-huh.
The big person who went crazy was John Robinson Block.
Oh, okay.
The editor of The Blade.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Block started a campaign to save the Valentine with his newspaper and his political clout. And one of the things he did was he printed the front page of an 1899 Toledo Blade as the front page of that era Blade.
Oh, okay.
And what it was the story of the grand opening of the Valentine.
Awesome.
And he printed it as it was originally printed in 1899. Well, that got the public moving. And we started a campaign, and we sold little red hearts for $1 at every tavern downtown to every drunk we could find. And everybody wore a little red heart to save the Valentine.
Awesome.
Well, so the city manager at the time, we were in a mayor form of government, city manager form of government, he was in a quandary, the old rock and hard place thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here he had the staff that worked for him saying, tear it down. We can't maintain it anymore. It's a drain on our funds. We got to maintain this thing, and there's no return on investment. At the same time, he had all the politicians say, you got to save the thing because we'll lose votes if they tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
And we got all our supporters are telling us we have to save it. And so Dave Boston appointed a citizens committee. That's the way politicians do things.
Yeah.
They get other people to make decisions, say, I didn't do it.
You know? Yeah.
Right, right.
So Dave appointed a committee, and a committee contained many, many people well-known in the community, including John Robinson Block. And at that time, the administrator of the Art Museum, people from the University of Toledo, other arts people around the community. And then he put on there one person at the City of Toledo, and that was me.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm serving on this committee with all these, higher echelon people.
Yeah.
And they came up with some, in my mind, crazy ideas on how to save the Valentine. And it was pushed by a study that the University of Toledo did. And they came out with a $250,000 study saying, in order to save downtown Toledo, we need a downtown cultural arts center, similar to what they did in Cleveland with Cleveland Square.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was the report that they did, which was wonderful, would not fit in that round hole that was the Valentine. The two things were incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
But we kept trying to force them together over a number of years. But right at the same time, I met with the Ursula Nuns here, who I had had in grade school and so forth, and was taking them out to dinner one night. And I said, what's going on over at the campus? I see things are moving out to Indian Road. They said, well, we're leaving. We're going to vacate the buildings. What do you mean you're vacating? Well, Merrimans College is gone. St. Ursula High School is gone. We've got all this real estate, no income. We can't maintain it.
Exactly.
And in order to improve it, we need $2 million and we don't have it.
Oh, wow.
And so what they did was they decided to spend $1 million and build what they call the Ursula Center out next to St. Ursula High School.
Oh, okay.
And they moved all the infirm nuns out there and the elderly nuns and so forth and started their business offices out in that area. Meanwhile, this was going to stand vacant. And I said, you can't do that.
Yeah, no.
If this was vacant for any period of time, it would be a matter of a few years before it would demolish.
Yes, definitely.
And so we started another citizens group, and we formed the Collingwood Arts Center.
Oh, okay.
And I told the people on the committee downtown, I said, I can't be here with you anymore because we can't have a cultural arts center in that building, but we do need a cultural arts center.
Yes.
And it does fit this building.
Yes, definitely.
So this building has everything that that report said it should have.
Hmm.
Performance space, studio space, office space, all the academics that are here, the mechanics are in that report.
Oh, okay.
And we walked in here in 1984. The nuns walked out and handed me the keys, and I walked in. Hmm. So it was never vacant for a minute.
Oh, wow.
Which gave us a lot of privileges with the city codes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it had been vacant for a week or a month, we would have had to upgrade all the plumbing, the heating, the electrical. It would have been impossible to do.
Right.
Slowly, over the 30 years we've been here, we've been able to do a lot of that. And we have new boilers. We have a lot of electrical improvements. We have a lot of other things going on to improve the infrastructure of the building, the bones, if you will.
Yeah.
People can't see it, but it's happening. And we're still providing studio space for artists, still providing auditorium space for performers and so forth. So that brings you to today, where we're having the paranormal visit here today. And there are all the stories about the paranormal here at the Art Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a feeling most of them are about me.
Oh, yeah.
I've been here longer than anybody else.
You're a legend.
Well, that's one word for it. There are other words. So what else can I tell you about the Collingwood Arts Center?
I heard that when the original design was more buildings, they were going to make like a complex?
Well, the original design was a quadrangle.
Okay.
This is just the south wall. They never built the other three walls.
Oh, I see.
Had they done that, there would have been a wall along Parkwood of the same architecture, and that poked out of that wall would have been a little chapel into the courtyard, and then the other wall along where the powerhouse is now,
okay,
that would have been the north wall, and then the final building, which would have been the grand building, much bigger than this one, would have come along Collingwood, which would, at the time it was built, would have been Adams Street.
Oh, okay.
But would come from what we call Collingwood now. And then a big central gate, just like you see in Sound of Music.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was all going to be one quadrangle of buildings. Well, they built this south wall. And we're going to say, well, temporarily, in 1914, we'll build this little chapel over here. And that's the barracks building you see out there.
Okay.
And then by 1920, they built that building on Parkwood. The dream died at that point to finish the other three walls.
Well, that's awesome. And you say that there's more space available if... Is it possible for artists to get a hold of someone if they are looking for space?
Oh, yes. We have about 60% occupancy at this time, which is very good. And not all of the remaining 40% is occupiable.
Okay.
We need to make some repairs to some of the rooms.
All right.
But we still have a significant number of art studios available. And they can call the number for the Art Center, which is 244-ARTS.
Okay.
244-2787.
Awesome. And we'll throw that up on our show notes in case anybody's interested. And
all right.
Home.
Okay. We appreciate it so much, Pat. Thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah,
and good luck.
In.
It's festivals like this that raise money to keep beautiful old buildings like
exactly.
this.
Right. Exactly. All right.
Open for all of us to share
yeah.
and experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. Thank you, Pat Tansey, for stopping by.
That was cool. Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Oh, look, he's already got somebody else talking to him already.
He's a popular man.
Yes.
Very knowledgeable, and we thank him very much for giving
us
the history.
Yeah, I wanted to get some history, because I've read up on the building, and I wanted to get some history, but to get it from the man.
He's been here 30, every day, 7 days a week for 30 years, he said.
That is amazing.
Yes.
So, it was an awesome day, folks. I know that this is going to be one long podcast, but we did break it up. We hit pause, and we had went and had lunch and stuff, but overall, this was an awesome day.
It was. I mean, won't say the word amazing again because I've said it like 20 times, but it was really, really amazing.
I just had a bug attack me. Oh, did you see the mouse?
No, I did not see the mouse.
Yeah, there's a mouse that runs back and forth.
There's a ghost mouse running
yeah,
across the floor.
It kept going back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely.
Yeah, what an amazing day. We had tons of people stop by
and
just tell their stories, and it was awesome.
Yes, it was. We have some people stopping by now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any ghost stories to share? I can't talk today. Have any ghost stories to share? Want to be on our show? Okay.
I don't consider a very good one.
Okay, well, that's all right. No? Oh, cool. Ah, cool. That's awesome.
That's great.
Well, thanks for coming out. Appreciate it.
I experience lost time every time I get on Facebook.
Yeah, know, like lost time. There's Al Luna walking by.
Al Luna.
Hi, Al Luna.
My lovely wife. Yeah, it's just an amazing day and tons of stuff. And it's going to happen again next year. So mark your calendars now.
Yes.
To be here this time next year.
Yeah, save your money, plan up, travel, stay overnight, do a ghost hunt overnight.
Yeah, there.
Buy lots of merchandise from us.
I see a lot of people getting ready to go on the ghost hunt tonight.
Yes, I'm so excited for them. I hope they get lots of activity. I mean, today is
the day. It's been all day.
Today is the day that you're going to get some good stuff.
Yeah. You know, like we said earlier on the show, there's been a lot of activity. People have been coming up to our table all day, and a lot of them didn't want to get on the don't want to record with us, which is fine, but it's great just talking to people.
Yeah, get that connection because we're all here for the same thing.
Yep. And like I say, folks, next year you have to be here.
Yes, plan on it now. And we'll keep you up to date as soon as we know any information throughout the year of the different places that will be. You can come out and see us. So hopefully we can travel out and see some of you that are outside of Ohio. We'll definitely come and visit.
Yeah.
Come and see us and meet us. Our fans are taking our photographs.
Yes.
Our one fan. Our one and only fan.
I didn't even sign any autographs today.
Oh.
No. Okay,
next
folks,
time.
But anyhow. We're going to wrap it up here.
Yes.
Thanks for a great day. I want to thank.
Thanks, Joe, for doing all you do.
Did everybody enjoy it?
Yes.
Did everybody enjoy it?
Everybody.
Let's hear it. Yeah. Okay. We're like the last ones here.
Yeah.
They're all down there at the other end.
Yeah.
Getting ready to do the ghost hunt.
Get scared. Get your scare on.
Yes.
Getting spooky with it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. Check us out next week. Remember, we're all over the place. If you want to check us out, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, Blueberry, and Google Play.
Stitcher Radio and TuneIn also.
Yeah.
Oh,
did I say
you said, yep.
Did I say that?
Oh, sorry.
I'm reading it. There was a bug in my eye.
I just got so excited because we're on so many different venues. People can check us out, listen to all our shows, leave us a comment, check out our Facebook page, 222 Paranormal Podcast.
Yeah,
and,
leave us some notes. There's one thing I noticed about Facebook is when people are putting their post on our page, mm-hmm. it's not showing up on the page.
We
it's
have to
showing
approve
up on the
it.
Side. So, oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to do that because yeah. people are leaving some great comments.
Yes.
And we encourage you guys to get on our Facebook page and leave us something, you know, funny. You know, we don't take life seriously because you never know.
It's short. Let's live it up. Let's yes. have fun. Let's love each other. And show us some orb pictures, too. I haven't seen enough orbs.
You know,
I'm obsessed with
orbs.
Here
we are again talking about, we just had people come up to our table and tell us that they've taken pictures here and got orbs. And
Already.
They're going to put it on our page. So All hopefully right. we'll see more
awesome.
Of that. All right. Well, thanks a lot, for everybody. We will see you in a week. Well, they'll hear us.
They're here.
In a week. If they see us,
our faces,
they will be the ghosts
looking
at us.
We have faces for radio.
Yes. All right, folks.
All right,
so
take
thank
care,
you
everybody.
For
Love you.
Listening, and we will see you all next time. But we will see you here at the Collingwood Arts Center
next year.
You better show up.
Be here.
Be here. Or be square. Thanks a lot, folks.
Bye now.